Good morning. Today's scripture is from Acts chapter 16, verses 9 to 15. Today we read again from the book of Acts, this time from the early ministry of the Apostle Paul. Paul has had his road to Damascus experience and has become an intense advocate of the gospel. He has felt the call to move to Gentile territory and has made his way to the ancient Roman city of Philippi. Here we encounter a community of women who are clearly seeking the ways of God. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, losing from Troas, we came into a straight course into Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto a woman which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, "If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there." And she constrained us. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
Will you join me in prayer? May the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, and the actions of our lives be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Back when I was kind of where Laurel is right about now, training for ministry, haven't quite gone on my internship yet, but at about that stage in my training for ministry, I had a summer job in Victoria. My summer job was with the street ministry in Victoria. Then it was called the Open Door Ministry. It was in this, if you've been to Victoria, it used to be called Metropolitan United Church, this incredible domed church in downtown Victoria. While we occupied the upper room, this kind of up this brutal set of stairs. It was not the least bit wheelchair accessible. Way above the street, but it was a street ministry. Most of the people that came to the Open Door were either homeless or living in, I guess you'd call it substandard housing, basically little rooms in the downtown core. Life on the street could be harsh and hard, but there truly was a community there. People took care of each other. People kept watch over each other. When somebody went missing, somebody didn't show up in the kind of circuit of places people would go for a couple of days, people would start asking questions. And at the time, I liked to think of the Open Door as kind of the living room for people who lived on the street in Victoria. I mean, there were shelters and other little places where people slept. Those were the bedrooms. And there were places where people could go for their soup kitchens and so on like that. That was sort of the dining room and kitchen. The Open Door didn't do either of those things. Simply open the door in the morning and the afternoon. And people would come and hang out, be together. We were the living room. And somehow it was church. really church every day in that place. Alan Tissick, you may have heard that name before. Alan was the minister that came a couple years after I left the Open Door. He tells the story of how that place was church. He says he was doing one of the morning walkabouts. Before the place opened, Alan did this, I did this. You'd go for a walkabout to the different places where you're likely to bump into people. And Alan was doing a walkabout because there was one person that had not shown up for a while, and he was worried about him. And so he came upon this guy who was sitting on a curb, a guy that he hadn't seen for a while. So he sat down beside him. This gentleman had been living rough and was looking it. He wasn't particularly healthy. He hadn't slept well. And it looked an awful lot like he needed to make his way to a detox as soon as he could. So they talked. Alan encouraged him, offered him help to try and get a little healthier. And he hoped that the conversation would help this guy turn things around. And then before Alan got up and continued on his way, he pulled out of his bag a day-old bun that he had gathered up earlier. And there they sat on the curb, and he broke open the bun and gave it to the guy and said, "This is my body broken for you. Whenever you do this, remember Jesus." And the guy pulled out his unfinished bottle of cheap wine and filled up the cap and passed it back to him. And they said, "This is my lifeblood poured out for you. Every time you do this, remember Jesus. The cup of blessing." And though I have no idea whether this man turned things around on that day or any day that followed, in that moment anyway, the good news, the blessing of Christ's healing presence was felt mightily by both Alan and this man in the sharing of communion on the curb in Victoria. Church happened. So Paul is wandering around. If you read the chapters leading up to the part we read today in the book of Acts, Paul is wandering around, wondering where he is called to go with this relatively newfound urgency for mission. His life has been turned utterly around by the gospel and by the Spirit, and he feels compelled to share that with others, particularly with into the Gentile world. And after some wandering, he has a dream. And in this dream, he comes to the conclusion that he is compelled to go to Macedonia. So he does the best thing he can do to make a beeline to the Roman city of Philippi. And there he's stalled once again until he makes his way outside of the city walls to a place where God is being worshipped. Now, I'm not exactly sure what that looked like. But it was clearly an eclectic group of women that came there to pray. They were, the Bible says, they were God worshipers. These people are seeking God. But it's like they're thirsty for God and they go to experience that thirst being quenched, but it's not quite quenched. Because when Paul arrives and tells them of the gospel, he finds fertile ground in a businesswoman named Lydia. Lydia has a lot going for her. She's a dealer in purple, which basically means she's selling and trading rich people's cloth. She's a fairly wealthy businesswoman. She has a home in this Roman city. But great business, comfortable home, and she still goes outside the city because she's still hungry. She's still thirsty. She's still longing. And she gathers with others who are in the same way. There's something in her searching that has not found a resting place. She is restless for God. And it's in this outside the city walls place that she finds herself fed by a gospel that will inspire her then to become one of the matriarchs and founding mother of the church in Europe. There, outside the walls, among a cluster of spiritually hungry women, church happened. On the 13th and 14th of April, there was a group that gathered here, right here, in a circle. 25 or 30 people, members of our church, gathered in what we were calling conversations that matter. Deborah and I had been talking for some time about the fact that there are significant changes happening in the life of Northwood when you add it all together. I mean, look up. Look way up. Rusty's not going to help us. I mean, big changes there. Changes with an amalgamation with the Japanese community in our area. A Korean ministry starting. Lots of changes. And if ever there was a time amidst all those changes for us to be really clear what we're here for, it's when lots of change is happening. So Deborah and I were talking and thought, you know, this is a time to gather people outside the usual board meetings, outside the walls of our usual community, in a separate place, at a separate time, and have a different conversation. Because there's longing to be really clear about who we are and what we're here for, what difference we're called to make as a community. And the conversation that happened was, well, some of you were there, it was at first a little uncomfortable because we really didn't know where it was going. Clearly, our guide in the process, Chris Corrigan, was perfectly happy to see it be uncomfortable at first. In order that we might do what Lydia did, in order that we might open to the presence of God in our midst, open to be aware of what really matters to us here at Northwood. And at a certain point in the conversation, the pieces started to fall into place. And we had a chance to talk about, to tell a story about a time when something happened in our life that really, in our life as Northwood, that really mattered to us. And we told those stories. And as we told those stories, it started to become clear. And it's about being learners and living Christ's teachings in a grounded practice, in practical ways. It's about experiencing the all-embracing love of God. Not the circle that is completely bound, but the circle that is porous. It's all-embracing, not just those that are gathered here. It's about paying attention, close attention, to the patterns that God seems to use among us and beyond us to make life happen. It's about being together, being a home where people can find a collective sense of Christian identity, make meaning and belong. And it's about finding the power to live life abundantly, overflowing, that we might genuinely embrace our community. These are some of the words that circulated around that particular community outside the walls of usual gathering. Now, and they're lovely words. And there's a little three-sided bulletin board out there that these words are up on that board. And so I'd invite you and encourage you to look at that, to reflect on some of those words, and listen for what you find maybe inspiring in those phrases, and talk about that amongst yourselves so that you too can participate in the conversation, that you might be part of the rippling of that conversation beyond its original circle. I wonder, a similar question that was asked in that circle, I wonder whether this place has felt like home to you. A place of belonging, a place of all embracing, a place where the teachings are lived and learned and practiced. Church has happened clearly for people. And there's great excitement about what it takes to make it happen again and again for people who are searching for God in our lives. So where does church happen for you in your life? And in the life that we share together. And when I say church happening, I mean, where have you found your way home in community? Where that hunger within you has found bread. The thirst in you has been quenched. The longing in you for meaning and for belonging has been satisfied, more than satisfied. Where's that happened for you? Because that's church. That's what I mean when I say church happens. Because, frankly, Paul wandered around the Mediterranean world until God made it happen outside the walls of Philippi. Alan wandered around the streets of Victoria until God made it happen sitting on a curb over an old bun and a cap full of cheap wine. And many of us have done church all over the place, but God makes it happen when it happens here and everywhere. It is God active. And so, in a moment, we will gather around the table and we will give thanks for God happening that makes us church. We'll give thanks for the way that has happened in our past, way that has created a tribe, a family, a community in this place. And we'll break open our lives in prayer and break open the bread and pour out the cup and pray that God will once again happen and make us church together. Really church, life-giving, life-changing, abundant, around the table. May it be so. Amen.